Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen, GH. Seems like maybe a slow week in sports, finally.
The Pullman trip? That's the slowest.
The Pullman is the slowest. Obviously, let's start with some Pac-12 basketball news. You talked to Sean Miller last week about the league potentially expanding to 20 games, 20 league games. It looks like this is something that could happen, if not next year, then the year after. Good or bad?
I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the ACC and Big Ten do it if it wasn't good?
True.
They both went to 20.
Right.
And John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News wrote about that today as well. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, okay, you replace one home game against Long Beach State with the Pac-12 opponent.
Right.
So the local economics are good.
Right, right.
And maybe I think the RPI of the league goes up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because it's not like anybody in the league is scheduling. It's not like you're going to take North Carolina off the schedule,
yeah.
Right? Most of these guys are playing Long Beach State or Fresno or somebody like that. Even a bad Pac-12 team comes in probably with a higher RPI than New Mexico.
Yeah.
You know. So how would that work? Right now they play 18?
They've played 18 since the league expanded and Arizona joined.
Right.
They used to play two league games in December.
Right.
For maybe the first 10 years.
Right.
Then they got away from that because people stopped scheduling non-conference games in January and February.
Right.
So this would mean you'd have to play at least one non-conference game in December again. I mean, one conference game in December again.
Right.
And fewer and fewer people would say, hey, but you don't play UCLA this year.
Right. Because right now you play, if Arizona were to play every other team in the league twice, that would be 22 league games.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. Right now they're playing 18, which means that they miss two teams all together in one spot, right?
Like this year, Arizona doesn't play the Washingtons at home, and they don't go to the LA schools.
Right, exactly. This would essentially cut that number in half to just, you would miss the Washingtons at home, and that would be it, or whatever it would be.
No, what it would be is you'd split it.
Okay.
And they'd have to work out the rotation, but
sure.
Your trip to Washington would only be either Washington State or Washington.
Gotcha.
And then it would rotate through the league over 5 years.
Wow. I think that's good. I mean, I still think ideally, and we talk about this in football all the time, the crappy part about a 12 conference or 12 team conference is you can't play everybody once.
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, it's in theory, everything is fair when everybody plays everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that just hasn't been the case, especially in basketball. And you're right. It leads to bad scheduling matchups. Arizona is not going to get SC and UCLA in LA this year. Certainly that robs Arizona of the high-profile games. It'd be better. 20 would be a step in the right direction.
And did you know the Pac-12 doesn't do its own scheduling?
What?
Yeah, they hire an independent firm to do their scheduling in football and basketball.
How hard is that?
The first thing I thought was, what a waste of money.
I know. Wow. That's, of course, the things that are a waste of money in the Pac-12 offices, that list is long and distinguished.
Yeah.
Yes.
And especially in football, because the schedules have been really warped.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. There's so much to do. I know we talked about sort of the magic wand theory a couple of episodes ago. Greg, if you had a magic wand, how would you fix the league?
Wow, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Where do you start? I don't like the two-year, in football, the two-year bye rotations.
Right.
Arizona doesn't play Stanford, Washington 2 years in a row in football.
Right.
I know it's good for Arizona competitively.
Right.
But why not just 1 year?
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I don't like the idea of the Bay Area being the home of the conference. I think it's an unnecessary expense, to be honest with you.
Downtown San Francisco.
I think that having the game in San Jose, Santa Clara,
oh.
the football conference championship game, I think that's silly.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think that the DirecTV stuff is bad. Although we're at a point now, I will say this. If you like sports in the Pac-12, you can get Dish. You have Dish. I have Dish. It's the same.
Yeah.
Basically, right? I don't know. I think that the power is too centralized at the top with Larry Scott.
Oh.
I'm not sure there's enough accountability there as an institution or as an organization, and it seems to me like it's too Bay Area based for me.
And it's too elite.
Yeah.
Of course, I grew up in this league with Tom Hansen's administration, and he was like your guy next door.
Yeah, you could call and get him on the phone. Yeah. I used to call it, when I worked at the Daily Wildcat, you could call the commissioner of the Pac-10 and he'd answer.
I know it.
Yeah.
And he would talk to you.
Right.
He wouldn't take a private jet everywhere. He wouldn't right. have a town car waiting.
Right.
That stuff has always rankled me. I don't know why. Maybe that's petty.
Maybe. But, I mean, you're seeing that with coaches now, too. Yeah. I mean, coaches who are supposed to be kind of men of the people taking private jets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, after the game Saturday, Larry Krystkowiak of Utah, I was in the hallway with him. There were two or three reporters. Mm-hmm. And he told their sports information director, I'm not doing the radio program, which he's contracted to do.
Whoa.
I've got a car waiting for me, and it's taking me to Phoenix. And he answered four questions and was gone.
Wow.
The rest of his team had to wait and take a bus to Phoenix
right.
For a 9:30 flight.
Wow. Was he recruiting, or what was the deal?
That's what I finally came up with, was he had someone to go watch.
Right.
But, I mean, that's college athletics at the Pac-12 level now.
I know. It's good and it's bad. I think more money allows you to bring in big-name coaches. I'm not sure there's a deeper league in the country in terms of big name. Like, I'm thinking in terms of football and basketball. Mm-hmm. A lot of big name dudes out there. It's pretty great. But these are guys who will milk the system to get private jet time and all that.
What was Rich Rod's contract? Had 48 hours of private jet time?
Yeah, someone has it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Rich Rod would take a private jet. Rich Rod, the players and the media relations guys, would take a private jet to Pac-12 Media Day, which isn't held, you know, on a landing strip in the middle of New Mexico. It's in Los Angeles, when you could fly to Burbank for $69 each way.
Well, I remember sitting at LAX with Dick Tomey after Media Day, flying back on the same Southwest flight as Dick Tomey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they were like number three in the country.
That's where you'd get all your good stuff, too.
Yeah.
what has gotten into Dusan Ristić, Greg Hansen, and is it sustainable?
Wow. Remember how bad he was, had one really bad game at Colorado, and then suddenly he looks like an all-conference player?
He does.
I'm not going to get over for a while the reaction of Sean Miller on Ristić's last three.
Yeah.
I've seen that replay 10 times now. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
He went crazy. He was mad even after it
went in. Yeah.
He was still mad. I mean, is he going to implode at some point?
And this isn't some guy who Miller pulled off the street 9 months ago and said, you're a Wildcat now. This is a four-year player in his program. I mean, at some point, if you don't trust a senior taking a shot, now, don't get me wrong. I didn't, when that shot went up, I went, no, too. But if you don't trust a senior to take a shot, what happens in March?
Yes.
What happens in March? If every shot is being criticized in real time, what happens when the pressure actually shows up in March?
Who wanted the last shot against Xavier last year? Nobody except Trier.
Trier, who had taken the last 12 shots against Xavier.
We both played enough basketball to know when you're hot, you do things unusual.
Yes.
He was hot.
He was hot.
When I thought the same thing as you. When he shot, I went, bad shot. But then halfway there, I thought, wait a minute, he's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
That's a factor.
It is a factor. I wonder, too, as Arizona prepares to play at Washington State in Washington this week, how much of the Ristić stuff is good matchups? I mean, so much of sports is matchups, right?
Bingo.
How much of it's good matchups? How much of it is playing at home? I would be more encouraged by him putting up 23 points on the road.
Yeah.
I think at home it's a little bit easier. But my goodness, if he is a thing now, what an extra unexpected weapon to have heading into March.
Because they'll have to ease off of Ayton a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, if both those guys are hitting,
right,
you're going to be hard to lose a game.
Right. Do you like him, Ristić?
He's one of the nicest kids to come through the media center.
Okay.
That's the only glimpse you get of him.
Right.
And from his freshman year, he was a polite kid, and you could you could just see he's soft and willing to deal person to person with you. You don't get that very often.
It's funny, even the people I know who work in the building were happy for Dusan Ristich. You know, I mean, those guys wave the pom-poms at every turn regardless of who does what. But they seemed extra that way because it's Ristich. I think he treats everybody in the building respectfully, and I think everybody roots for him.
He lives at the corner of Campbell and 6th Street.
Really? Okay.
And you know where the old, they used to have the restaurant there, a brand new restaurant across the street?
Yeah.
That's no longer open.
Right, yes.
I think most of the players live right there.
The place at Championship Dining?
Yes.
Yeah. So, those duplexes right there?
I think this was Wednesday about noon or so, and I was stopped at the stoplight, and he came walking down the street talking on his phone. And the light was red, so I just stood there talking on the phone. I bet you three cars honked at him.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought that was pretty apt of what Tucson is like.
That's absolutely. I mean, and that's why it's the specialness of Tucson, yes? Yeah. Is even if you're – and at that time, Ristich was not red hot. You know, if you're a basketball player and you're well-liked, I'm not sure. It's a pretty charmed life, I think.
Yeah.
The flip side, obviously, is if you are a team that is underachieving or if you're a team that has a bad couple weeks, everybody's hard on you. To me, I see a capital T trap game coming up Saturday at Washington.
Oh, not even a trap game, just a hard game.
Right. Washington's way ahead of schedule. I think that they're doing it with inferior talent. But my goodness, Mike Hopkins comes in, really an unknown guy within the league, has put in a lot of Jim Boeheim's old Syracuse principles, and they're playing well. And they've been playing well all year. I mean, they beat Kansas. They beat Kansas in Kansas City to start the season. I don't know. I think they're a really tough out.
They came home and got pounded by Gonzaga, and I kind of gave up on them then.
Right.
But they've recircled and are good.
Yeah.
They've done two things that Arizona hasn't done, I think. They've improved individually. Matisse Thybulle is now, to me, an all-conference first-team player. I mean, he's really good.
An artful player, Matisse. Anyway.
And they have this freshman, Jay Knoll.
Yeah.
Who, other than Nathan, to me, is the freshman of the year in the league. They've got five good players.
They do. They do. And this is a place that, I mean, you hate to say underachieved because I think, I don't know, Lorenzo Romar got them so successful and recruited so well that it often seemed like they didn't add up to the sum of their parts, right?
6 years without a tournament.
I know. I mean, they had the number one player in the draft, number one pick in the draft this last year.
It went nowhere.
It went nowhere. Marquise Chris the year before went number three or number five overall.
Oh, and DeJounte Murray went 29th.
DeJounte Murray, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, on down the line. This is a team that to me is seemingly doing the opposite, is they're better than they are on paper, right? And I don't know if that's just a change of coaching staff or what, but it's interesting. It's weird with Arizona facing a Washington team that isn't super duper athletic.
Yeah.
And if you had to drop away to try to beat Arizona, it's playing zone defense on the road 2,000 miles away with a weird off day in there. I think this is a trap game.
I think so much will play into it. ASU's game there on Thursday.
Yep.
If ASU goes up and gets thumped,
right,
that place will be, and I've been at Heckhead before when it's been as good as anywhere in the country.
Sure.
It will be like that on Saturday night.
Yeah. Wow, it's going to be fun. That's... It's interesting, Greg. March is like here, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a month away.
I mean, it's February. What? February starts on Thursday?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's when things really start getting fun, I think, across the board. And in Tucson, especially, there's no better time.
How about the next 2 weeks? Well, this week with Washington and Seattle.
Right.
The LA schools at home next week.
Right.
And then at ASU the next week. Wow. I mean, that's big time stuff.
I know. The pitchers and catchers report. And U of A baseball and softball get started. And spring ball is going to come up at some point. It's fun, man.
Yeah.
It's fun. Real quick, before we let you go, Arizona's coaching staff is expected to be unveiled here in the next couple of hours. I'm not sure there are very many surprises left. We do not know who the new linebackers coach is. There's a 10th assistant job that we don't know about yet either. But at first blush, is this kind of who you thought Sumlin would get? Impressed? Not impressed? What do you think?
I am impressed with the resumes of the guys he's gotten.
Right.
It's completely a step up from what Rich Rod did.
Right.
You know, he brought in from a lower tier.
Sure.
Doesn't look like someone's afraid to surround himself with better talent.
Right.
Those last two positions, though, are going to be interesting because Chuck Cecil's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him last week, and he had not been told he was going to be hired. Mm-hmm. Is there still a bombshell coming where they go, Chuck Cecil's our assistant head coach?
And that's a good question.
And whatever this 10th coach is going to be?
I don't know. Do they sit there and say, do they bring in somebody you've heard of before? Does that make any sense? Are there any former Arizona Wildcats bouncing around there that would make some sense?
I mean, Kyle Quinn.
Yeah.
Man, that guy, you know Kyle Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
He is a guy you want to have in your organization.
Absolutely. Bust his butt.
Man, I would have that guy on my staff no matter what.
Right. We talk about people who are a Wildcat, and certainly that's not the ultimate arbiter of whether you're good or not. But Kyle Quinn, I mean, you can't be much more of a Wildcat than being Kenzie Fowler's plus one, right?
But even without Kenzie Fowler, that's a big plus.
I know. That's a big
Kyle
plus.
Kyle Quinn by himself is a guy, if you can get him on your staff, man, get him.
I'm really interested in Noel Mazzoni. I think certainly he was part of the package deal from the beginning. Also, the offensive line coach, Turner? Is his last name?
He's a Springer.
Good, Springer. He was the assistant.
The Colts.
Offensive line coach for the Colts. And it basically alternated between being their head offensive line coach and their assistant offensive line coach for years. That's interesting to me. This shows to me that Sumlin may be more collaborative than Rich Rod was. And the guys who had coached for him in the past want to come back and coach for him again. I think that's a good sign.
Plus, I also think, just my own opinion, mm-hmm. your staff starts with an offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm. So that's
every good team in this league mm-hmm. forever has had a superior offensive line coach.
And Arizona's been blessed with good ones.
Oh, man.
I mean,
Biedenbaugh and
Robert Anicek. Robert Anicek, Bill Biedenbaugh.
Jim McCulchick was outstanding.
I mean, back to Charlie Dickey.
I know it.
They've been either lucky or really good
yeah.
in identifying offensive line coaches. What about Charlie Dickey? He'd make a lot of sense.
His wife's family is all from right there in Manhattan, Kansas.
Really?
And he just got a promotion.
That's right.
Co-something.
He's a co-offensive coordinator at K-State, but he's not calling plays.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to call plays here either.
Bigger mess in college football right now than Kansas State?
Aren't they all settled now with...
Well, are they or aren't they? Bill Snyder's coming back for another year. He wants to essentially hand the job to his son at some point. I'm not sure that's smart. I'm not sure that ever works.
But I wouldn't have hired Jim Lovett either, just based on his troubles at South Florida.
Yep, I agree. Before we let you go, last thing, Super Bowl prediction. Go.
Well, I definitely want Nick Foles and David Fitt to win.
Yes.
So... I like the underdog, so mm-hmm. it's not that I don't like the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
but I'll take the Eagles.
Patriots are easy to root against, I think. It's because they're so good. I could care less about Belichick and all that. I don't want them to win because they win too much.
I know.
If I would have told you 5 years ago that an Arizona Wildcat would be the starting quarterback on a Super Bowl champion, would you have believed me?
No, although I think we both thought Foles would be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's a special guy. I mean, I think this had to be the path he took, right? I don't think he was talented enough, even out of school, to be the incumbent, the guy right away. But my goodness, he's going to make himself a lot of money this year.
He just got another contract.
Nicest guy in the world, too.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, quick prop bet. Here we go. Okay. Number of touchdown passes completed for Nick Foles.
One.
Hold on. Versus number of Stellas consumed by Greg Hanson on Sunday.
What time does the game start?
4:30. 4:30.
Oh, that's right in the Stella zone.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast. For Greg Hanson, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next week.